Today's Perek in Tanakh is the final Perek of Shmuel Beit, Perek Chav Dalet. Now one would certainly have thought, finishing the Perek yesterday, that the Sefer was complete. Basically, we went through the entire structure of the Malchut from the beginning, the Pach and the Keren, the paradigm of a Malchut that was Sheula, and how it would fail because of the fact that it was not a heuristic emergent Malchut, and the second structure of Malchut in the early days of David, and the final structure of a Malchut in the later days of David when he came back after the merit of Shalom, which was 40 years from the time of the Bakashat HaMalchut. The Sefer ended on two different levels. Initially on the political level, describing the closure of the coming back of David and who it was that was in charge, and then the Prakim of the lyrical, mystical, David is the Gever who come out, the one who would create a Malchut from Teshuvah, and the list then of all of his 37 Giborim, which would have seemed to conclude his life story and the story of this book. Strangely, we are given an additional parak, which seems to have no direct bearing on anything before, and is almost a stuck-on, from a literary point of view, painful break between the end of Shmuel and the beginning of Melachim. And yet, as we shall see, this parak completely changes the way in which we view everything that needed to be achieved by David, what it was that was lacking, and where it was that we were going, and how it is that the beginning of Melachim will indeed be at last the actualization of all that was meant. Vayosef af Adonai lacharot b'Yisrael, vayaset et David b'hem limor, lech meneit Yisrael v'et Yehuda. Well, we were talking about historical closures before, and how it is that we needed to deal with the open wounds of the time from Yehoshua, and from the times of the early moments of Shaul. There is yet another closure, and that closure is very, very strange, because as the Gemara tells us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told David, when David had spoken to Shaul, and said, the strange thing, said to him, Im Hashem hesitchabi yarach mincha. When he confronted Shaul in one of the moments of Shaul's lucidity, and he told him, if God has sicked you onto me, then may he in fact accept a gift of a mincha on the Mizbeah. And Kadosh Baruch Hu told him at that moment, do you call me a mesit? Do you call me one who would incite one against another? Hare ani machshilcha b'davar shafilu tinokot shebeit rabban yodin oto. I will indeed be one day one who incites you. And this is the word that we find here. Vayaset David b'hem lemor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu incited David against Israel. But why? Because Vayosef af Hashem lachrod b'Yisrael. Because he continued to be angry. And Rashi says, Lo yadati alma. It doesn't say here what it is that he continued to be angry about. Well, the Medrash does tell us what it was that he was angry about. And it opens our eyes to everything that occurs from this moment on. It turns out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at the very achievements with which the book had closed. Why? Because it appeared to be a closure. The very fact that David HaMelech and Klal Yisrael was satisfied with the situation as had been reached, with a Malchut that was Shlema, with David and Malchut Beit David, and all that was meant to be achieved from that moment on through the Geula, no one had moved to do something about the Beit HaMikdash. No one had been Toveya a Beit HaMikdash. And that meant, and as the Radak puts it, the Medrash tells us, Kol ha'alafim ha'ela shenaflu b'mei David lo naflu al yedei shelo tavu Beit HaMikdash. This is the quote from the Medrash. It was the fact that no one desired and demanded the Beit HaMikdash. And this is exactly what we're told in another Medrash, that Klal Yisro b'shlosha ma'asu, and until there will be b'shlosha yidrashu, there will be no geula. That deep down there is a me'isa in Malchus Shamayim, a me'isa in Malchus Beis David, and a me'isa in the Beis HaMikdash. And until these three things are what we pray about and care about, there can be no geula. And therefore, the very closure and success of this book, and the acceptance of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told David, Rakata lo tivnat beti, that nothing was done, and there was no thought about how it is that we could prepare the way and pave the way, despite the fact that, as I mentioned to you, in Divrei Hayomim, it's clear that these closing years were dedicated by David to all types of preparation for Binyan Beis HaMikdash. But be Yisrael, there was a sense of completion, a sense of completion that many share today, unfortunately. That as long as we have a complete Jewish life, or as long as we can dream about a complete kivush of Eretz Yisrael, and live be'eretz avoteinu, that in essence, we will have achieved all, and our focus is not on the Beit HaMikdash as the Bayit. All of this now means that we are stuck and have achieved the opposite, in a sense, of what the goals of Yisrael are. For we cannot ever be an Am that is locked into itself. And therefore Hashem now continued to be angry with all that had been missing until now. Whatever Tikkunim had come, and whatever Hukam Ol HaTeshuvah had done, that Teshuvah needed to end up in one place. Mizmor Shir Chanukat HaBayit LeDavid, specifically. Hafachta Mispedila Macholi, that Mechila, that Makom HaMizbeach, that very place from where Adam HaRishon had been made to find Kapara. The Ne'um HaGever Hukam Al can be only the Ola Shel Teshuvah at the Makom of Mechila, at the place of the actual Cholot, the Shitim of the Mizbeach itself, that are Yorid HaTehom. And it is to there that we need to go at the end of this book. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through the Satan, incited David as if to say to him, Lemor Lech Meneit Yisrael Vet Yehuda, go and count Yisrael and Yehuda. Vayomer HaMelech Al Yoav Sarachayel Asherito. And so the king called in his general Yoav and told him, Shutna b'chol shiftei Yisrael midan v'ad b'er-sheva ufiktu et ha'am v'yada'ati et mispar ha'am. I want you to spread out all over the country, go from place to place, count the people, and that way I will know how many there are. Vayomer Yoav el ha'melech, why? Vayosef Adonai Elohecha la'am kehem v'chaim mea pa'amim. May God, your Lord, add to this people, double them, and then double that again. And then go through that 100 times, doubling each time, which meant that his bracha was human terms, infinitely greater than the bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu. We're talking about over here 10 to the 102nd power. Ve'eini Adoni HaMelech ro'ot, and may you live yet to see it. Ve'Adoni HaMelech lama chafetz b'davar hazeh. Why? Why would you want to do something like this? Now, what exactly is the problem in what it is that David wanted to do? And why is this an incitement? So here we come really to major issues that are involved in the very nature of Pekita. As we know, Avraham Avinu had been told originally, Asher lo yimad v'lo yisafer, your children will not be counted. We know that at the time of the Binyan HaMishkan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to count and insisted on the giving of the trumas in order to avoid the negev, v'lo yeh negev b'nei Yisrael. So that we understand there is a danger that's involved in counting, and indeed the only time that there was this count was in terms of Yerushas Aret, when it comes to in the time of Yahushua, or in terms of the Binyan HaMishkan, which was in the time of the Midbar. This count, the moment that we hear about a count, we already begin to suspect the only place that this could go is to build a Beis HaMikdash. And indeed, that's what happens in the end. But it came about through a wrong intent. And here, what exactly was the chait is not clear. In Divrei HaYomim, it's a little bit more developed, the theme, so that it appears from Divrei HaYomim, as the Ramban brings, that the chait was involved in David HaMelech's not counting only B'ben Esrim Shana, not counting only the Yotzei Tzava. The Gemara says that the chait was not counting through the giving over of Shkalim. The Ramban says it's very, very difficult to believe that David HaMelech and Yoav and everybody went along not counting with Shkalim, and even if David had not mentioned it, why in the world wouldn't Yoav have set up a plan in order to count through Shkalim? Others suggest that there wasn't a mention of the names. It had to be Mispar Shemot. As the Malbim puts it, at the time of the Pekita in the Midbar, there was no counting of people. There was only the counting of names. Everyone gave in their name, and so their individuality was preserved. Their uniqueness was preserved. There was no danger of an exposure of the person as a person, or reducing him to just a unit. The Ramban explains that the underlying problem here was the fact that there was no need for this count. That the only time that the Torah tells us to count Yisroel is where it's for the specific needed purpose, the purpose of the Binyan HaMishkan, or the purpose of Chalukas Eretz Yisroel. But over here, David HaMelech, as he says, I wish to know the number. Now what does that mean? What does it involve? On the one hand, it implies that we've become almost a secular society. We simply want to know, functional. David HaMelech desires to have the simcha of the knowledge. How many people are in his country? What are the growth pattern? What exactly are the ways that the planning of the Medina has to be achieved? Without having a goal for this count, it was not Letzerech, and because of that could only be damaging and reducing to Yisrael. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it goal-oriented in the end, as we shall see. It becomes itself the Pekida for the Beit HaMikdash, the Mizbeach, the Makom HaMizbeach that will be built. However, just as the Beis HaMikdash originally and that Mizbeach was Mekudash through the blood and ashes of Yitzchak Avinu, as the Gemara tells us that they could still see the Efer of Yitzchak that was on the Makom HaMizbeach, and that was the Siman at the time of the Aliyah of Ezra and the Binyan of the Beis HaMikdash the second time, that was the Siman to the Makom HaMizbeach. So too, the original Kinyan of the Mizbeach that comes in this Perek, in the Makom of the Mikdash, in the Garden Aravna HaYavusi, came through immense pain and through immense suffering, which this Perek only briefly details. So that the nature of Mechila, the nature of Chet, the underlying problems that a Beit HaMikdash comes to address, to take that entire process of failure and rebuilding and turn it into the essence of what our experience in Olam Hazeh, built with a hay, so easy to fall out, turning it into what it is that the Beit Hashem is, and that continued Halicha of Yisrael that Moshe Rabbeinu initially established in the Mishkan at the time of the Shviras Haluchos and the Maaseh HaEgel, which Chazal put together Lo Yisrael Ru'uyim Lo To Maaseh V'Lo David Ru'uy Lo To Maaseh. Both David HaMelech himself with Bathsheba and Klal Yisrael with the Egel were in a sense put into a situation in order to be able to express the nature of Teshuvah as being the essence of humanity in Olam Hazeh and the Beis HaMikdash itself. So too must we suffer in this last parak through the horrific pains that David went through, the pain of the loss of the Shekhinah, the pain of Midas Hadin, in order to be able to be Eimed on a Makom HaMizbeach that would be Lederes, the place of the Bayit HaLevanon, the place for Sham Melubanot Avonotehem Shal Yisrael, in which all that was red and bitter and bloody would become once again clean and innocent. Vayachezak Dvar HaMelech El Yoavi HaSarei HaChayel. The king was absolutely insistent and demanded from Yoav and from the other officers of the army, Vayetze Yoav HaSarei HaChayel Lifnei HaMelech Lifkod Et Ha'am Et Yisrael. And so they went out indeed to take a census of the people of a Yisrael that was meant never to be counted. Why indeed was this a function of the army? Was it a misuse of the army? The Malbim suggests that the incitement over here was not directly something that came from nowhere, which of course has to be the case, but rather was part of the natural breakdown that we had sensed earlier. The breakdown that, as I mentioned to you, was the me'isa, the disgust in a sense that Yisrael felt for David and for Malchut Beit David, which had come out in the rebellion of Sheva ben Bichri and in all of the problems that David sensed were simmering under the surface. The difficulty of creating a single Am under a Melech of such breadth, in which every person would be able to find the challenge of becoming himself. This was a difficult period, and the Malbim suggests that David HaMelech began to feel that he could no longer count on the sense of the volunteerism that used to be there. So that every time there was a war, you'll notice there was no set-up system for maintaining a reserve, for calling up the army. There was a Vayizaku, and people would respond. And depending on their loyalty to the mission, to the king, that's how many would respond. And so we find that in one place we'll have 100,000 people, in another place we'll have 300,000 people. It's very much a function of the leadership, in which the morale and the vision has to be given over by the king. But if the king begins to feel that he no longer has the confidence of the people, that they no longer are loyal, that they will no longer be Vayizaku, David HaMelech sensed that it was time to set up an actual system by which there would be reserve, by which people would be called up, and he would know the name and address of every soldier that needed to appear, and would know who had come and who had not come. And so this was the beginning of the end of a Yisrael that was responsive, and instead a Yisrael now that was institutionalized, a nation like any other, with an army like any other, that would not be built around a vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, al Areinu va'Arei Eloheinu, but rather on what it was that the Melech would be able to put in place as mechanism. This held within it such danger that we see Yoav and the Sarim were so reluctant to go out and did it only under immense duress. Vayavru et ha-Yarden, and so they wished to begin on the other side of the Yarden in order to cause as little damage as they could, because they sensed in their bones that this could only end in disaster. Vayachanu ba'aro'er yamin ha'ir, and so they set up now initially their camp to the south of Aro'er asher betoch ha-Nachal ha-Gad ve'el Ya'azer. They began specifically with Bnei Gad, because, as the Medrash tells us, Yoav said, Halavai, that the Gadi, who are difficult people, tough people, and strong people, Halavai, that they'll fight, and they'll refuse to be counted, and this whole thing will fall apart right at the beginning. And yet no one stood up for what was wrong with this Pekida. Vayavo Agil Ada, Ve'eretz Tachtim Kuchi, Vayavo Dana, Ya'an, V'saviv El Tzidon. And so they came then to the Gilad. They came to the Eretz Tachtim that had recently been settled, Chochi. Why? Because they were hoping to go first to places that had very small populations, that they would cause as little damage as possible, and were waiting and hoping that David would change his mind before it was too late. They went specifically to cities that were still inhabited by Goyim, so that they could there find only a few members of Yisrael to once again do what they could to minimize the damage. Vayitzur Negev Yehuda Be'er Sheva, and in the end, they were forced to Vayashutu B'chol Ha'aretz. Vayavo Mikzei Tish'a Chodashim Ve'esrim Yom Yerushalayim. They came at the end of 9 months and 20 days back to Yerushalayim. Vayitin Yoav Et Mispar Mifkad Ha'am El Hamelach. And Yoav gave, and here we have two words that seem to mean the same thing, the Mispar and the Mifkad. And there's indeed a Medrash that says that he had two completely different lists. One which was smaller, one which was larger. Some of the Rishonim say that it could be that indeed there is a concept of, in terms of this chait, of counting, as we saw in Divrei HaYomim, from less than 20 years old, which means that he was not counting only the tzava, but that he himself kept a separate count of the tzava in order to attempt to give to David the lesser number. So that he had two, as the Medrash puts it, he had two anafriot, he had two lists, one that was larger and broader, and one that was smaller, and he said, I'm going to give him the smaller one. If he's upset and says, I didn't do it right, and insists I go back and do it, I'll then give him the larger list. So there was both a mispar and a mifkat. Vatihi Yisrael 800,000 ish chayil shalef cherem v'ish Yehuda 500,000 ish. And so there was in Yisrael, besides Yehuda, 800,000 soldiers, and there was in Yehuda 500,000 soldiers. That doesn't mean literally soldiers. Perhaps it means that these were those that were ro'i to be soldiers. And as we said, it was Yoav who was careful to make certain that there were two separate lists. Now here Chazal put out the fact, ask the question of how it's possible that in Divrei HaYomim we find that it says 1,100,000, and there seems to be a contradiction, and this is in the Yisrael, seems to be a contradiction between these two. And so there's a number of approaches. One approach is that it's clear, as Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi puts it, that the psukim, they're adding what's missing over here, and that there were two shvatim that weren't counted. There was a Levi, and there was Binyamin. Levi, Yoav said, look, with Levi, I can tell him that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't count Levi together with the other Shvatim. And with Binyamin, I could argue that we've had so much problems with Binyamin, that the entire Shevet was almost destroyed in Pelegish B'Givah. Let us not expose now how many there are in Binyamin. We also find other issue, and this is now in the Sifri, so that there we talk about the difference between the numbers of Yisrael that are mentioned in Divrei HaYomim and the numbers of Yisrael that are mentioned over here. The difference is 300,000 people. What happened to them? So this is an example in the Midai Sheter, in the Dreshes Behem, of Shnei Ketuvim HaMakrishim Zeh Ad Shabah Ketuv HaShlishi V'Yichriya Bineihem. So here the Shnei Ketuvim that are Makrishim Zeh. It comes along now the Ketuv HaShlishi. And what is the Ketuv HaShlishi? So it says in Divrei HaYomim as well, of Bnei Yisrael L'Misparam Rashi HaAvot V'Sareha So there it says that there was a separate list of people that were involved in each month. They split up the year according to the month, and there were 24,000 people that were included in the Sarim, the Alafim, the Meot, the Shotrim, the Mishartim, and these 300,000 people were the ones that were already written up in Imusar Shomela. They were the ones that were serving now over the course of these months. We have 24,000 people over 12 months of the year. That's already the 280,000 of the 300 that are missing and an additional 8,000, which means that there's 12,000 missing. 12,000 missing was 1,000 Nesiyei Yisrael for each Shevet, which gives us 12,000. This is the approach in the Braita of the Lamed Beis Midah Shatar Nidreshes Behem. But in any event, there are different levels of the count here, different levels of understanding what it was that had gone wrong, but all points in the same direction. And it was immediately clear to David that he had done something wrong, despite the fact that there was nothing at all from the outside. He internally recognized the moment that he read these numbers that this was wrong. And so David began to have terrible pangs of conscience at what he had done. And he turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, Chatati ma'od asher asiti, I did something horrible. And now, please, God, let us pass. So let me get by it. Do not cause any pain to Israel. Kiniskalti ma'od, I've been so stupid. Vayokom David Baboker, and he got up that morning with Vara Dunai Ayayel Gada Navi, Chose David Lemor. And horror of horrors, there had been a Nevias to David's Navi, and all of the Nevias of God were specifically for David, and therefore he's called the Chose David. Aloch v'dibarta el David, go and speak to David. And we know that dibarta is always Lashon Kasheh, it's Midas Adin. Ko amar Adonai, Shalosh anochi notel alech, b'char lecha achat mehem ve'aseh lach. I have given you an option, 3 choices of hell. You choose one of them, and that's what I will do to you. Vayavo Gad el David vayaged lo. Vayom lo. And so God told to David, Atavo lecha sheva shanim ra'av ba'artzecha? Are you willing to suffer 7 years of famine in the land? Im shlosha chodashim nuscha lifnei tzarecha? Or perhaps 3 months of being defeated by enemies in retreat, Uhurot Fecha, constantly running. Vimeyot Shloshet Yamim Dever Be'artzecha, or 3-day plague. Atad Da Ure'e, and now you must make a choice. Ma'ashiv Shochi Davar, the one who sent me, demands a response. Vayomer David El Gad, Tsar Li Mo'od, God, you've left me. These choices, the worst of them is horrific. I don't have any choices. Nipla Nabi Adadunai, Kirabim Rachamav, V'yadadam Alapola. I want to have nothing to do with choices that do not come directly from the hand of God. Let me fall into his hands with dever, and not fall into the hands of what will be so painful among humans. Now, obviously, the Ra'av is not among humans. I mean, in a sense, neither is the Radifa. But as the Medrash puts it, those things which will cause now inequality between people, and not something that is entirely up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If it's hunger, then those people who are rich and who can afford under any circumstances to buy food or have stored food for all of these years, they will survive. If it's people that are strong or are living in fortified places, they may survive the onslaught of enemies. I need something that is not in the hands of any human being, in which we are all equal, in which I am as likely to be destroyed as anyone else. And so I choose the plague. Vayiten Adonai Devar b'Yisrael mi'aboker v'yad et mo'ed. So even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said there will be 3 days of plague, in the end Midat HaRachamim could not allow Midat HaDin to do such a thing. And there was a plague indeed, but only from that morning, from the moment of the choice of David, until the et mo'ed, which is the time of the bringing of the Korban HaTomi. Vayomot min ha'am midan v'ad b'er-sheva 70,000 people died in this plague. Vayishlach yado, Malach Yerushalayim, l'shachata. And so the Malach that was in charge of the Hashchata stretched forth its hand and knife against Yerushalayim to destroy it. And it was at that moment, Vayinachem Adonai el Ra'ah, Vayom el Malach HaMashchit Ba'am Ravata, Heref Yadech. He said to the Malach HaMashchit, enough now, let your hand be soft. Malach Adonai Haya, Im Goren Aravna Hayavusi. Malach was standing over the threshing floor of Aravna Hayavusi, which of course is the Mokom HaMikdash. And what was it that the Shekhinah was Raya that had changed the Gezerah, say Chazal, it was the Efer of Yitzchak. Another man Yomer says it was the Kesef HaKippurim itself, from the time of the Mishkan, that was Mechaper on it. And so it is that in Divrei Yomim it says, Vayisa David et Einav Vayar et Malach Hashem. He lifts up his hands and he sees the Malach Hashem, and that Malach Hashem is now up in the air itself. These were the things that David HaMelech was omed on. And he was there, omed bin ha'aretz v'in ha'shamayim, v'charvo shufa b'yadonu tuyal Yerushalayim, v'yipol David v'azikinim b'chusim b'sakin apneyem. That is when David saw, and it was with these zechuyot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, haref yadecha. And so the danger at that moment coming to Yerushalayim would have been to destroy David as well. And David felt terrible that it was him that was saved. V'yomer David el Adonai b'roto et ha'malach ha'makeh ba'am, v'yomer, hine anochi chata. It's I who sinned. Vanochi Yehaviti. It's I who perverted the truth. Vela Atzon Me'asu. What did these sheep, these poor unknowing people, what did they do? Tihina Yatchabi Ubevet Avi. Please, turn against me and against the home of my father. Don't take it out on Yisrael. That's why some of the Mefoshim Radayik, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Malach, Rav Ata, Heref Yadech is the way to read this. It's too much. You're doing this too fast. Lighten your touch. Which means that what's still going on, and that's why David sensed that the Negev hadn't ended and begged that it be turned against him. Vayavo Gad el David bayomahu, and God came back to David and said to him, Vayomelo Ale, Hakim Ladunai Mizbeach, Begoran Aravna Hayavusi. Go and put up a Mizbeach in the threshing floor of Arav. Of course, that threshing floor, to David, what does a threshing floor mean? It's the basis of his own existence. It's not only the makom of Sanhedrin, Kegoren, it's also the place in which the relationship between Rut, Himashal Machut, and Boaz had been sealed. Vayal David kidvar Gad kasher tziva Adonai, and David went immediately as Hashem had commanded in the mouth of God. Vayashkef Aravna, and there Aravna is looking out. The Medrash says he was hiding because he was there only by the sufferance of Yisrael. After all, remember that David had not taken over the Yavusi. And he saw that the king and his servants were coming, and he realized there was no choice. And he came out and greeted the king and bowed down to him. If you needed to speak to me, said Aravna, surely you could have called me. David I've come here to buy this threshing floor from you in order to build a Mizbeach to Hashem and to stop that way the Magefa, the horrible plague which is now destroying my country. Vayomer Aravna David Yikach, take it all, not to buy. Vayal Aduni HaMelech HaTov Beinav, and do with it, make it what is good in your eyes. And here, Re'e HaBakar La'olav HaMorigim V'chli HaBakar La'etzim, here you have all that I own. Bring the very oxen that I have. Bring them for an ola. Bring the morigim, which are these special pieces of wood that were used now. They had cracks in them and were heavy. They were drawn over by the animals over the chitim in order to crush them. That way you could winnow. Ruchle ha-bakar le-itzim. So use the morigim, use the kelim that the bakar attached with. Use it for the wood to bring on the mizbeach. Hakol natan aravnalam ha-melech. Aravna, who was himself the melech, was the tsar of all of the Yevusim. He gave it lam. And so the gift of a king went to the king, and he gave it all to the melech. Vayomer Aravna el ha-melech Adonai Elohecha yirtzecha. May you indeed be found in favor in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring up this ola. And Chazal say, how indeed was something that came from a Yevusite, which shouldn't be roy for the Mizbeah. We have to be choshish that the Bokor was nifsal. How could they bring it? They say that Aravna was indeed a ger toshav. But obviously, David HaMelech anyway would not have allowed those who still believed in Avodah Zarah to have lived there in the Yavus. Vayomer HaMelech El Aravna, lo, I will not accept it as a gift. Note the similarities here in the Kinyan of Har HaMoriah to the Kinyan of the Maorat HaMachpelah so many centuries before. I will not accept a gift from you, says the Melech to the Melech. Ki kano ekne me'otcha b'mechir, I will pay full price. V'lo ha'alel Adonai Elohai olot chinan, nor will I bring to the Lord a gift that I get for free. Believed in Avodah Zarah to have lived there in the Yavus. Vayomer HaMelech El Aravna, lo, I will not accept it as a gift. Note the similarities here in the Kinyan of Har HaMoriah to the Kinyan of the Maorat HaMachpelah so many centuries before. I will not accept a gift from you, says the Melech to the Melech. Ki kano ekne me'otcha b'mechir, I will pay full price. V'lo ha'alel Adonai Elohai olot chinan, nor will I bring to the Lord a gift that I get for free. Vayikin David et Agoren v'tam Bakar bekesef shkalim chamishim. And so David bought for the full price the goren and all that had been offered for 50 shekel worth of money. Now this is strange because, as Chazal point out in Divrei Hayomim, it says beferush vayitein David la'arnon b'makom shiklei zahav mishkal shesh meot. Here it says 600, and here it says 50. And so there are two approaches to this. One says that what it was referring to was the price of the mizbeach itself was the 50. But then he saw the entire area and realized that this was the mokum, and all of which he could buy now to build the Beit HaMikdash. And as Rashi points out in Sotah, it's clear that David was well aware that this was going to be the mokum HaMikdash, because according to the Gemara, he had already dug out the Yisaitis HaMizbeach while Achitofel was alive, and this is long after Achitofel had committed suicide. And so David was aware of what was going on, and he understood that the nature of a Pekida and the Kesef Shkalim, which he saw now in his vision as protecting him from Midas Hadin at this point, needed to be completed in the purchase of a mikdash. And therefore he gave at this moment not only the money for the mokum HaMizbeach, but as the direct result of the pekida, which was a pekida that was ultimately meant to achieve what the original pekida was meant to achieve. The changing over of the Chet HaEgel into a mishkan. And this pekida was the changing over of the chataim of David and Yisrael into a mikdash, that he paid the full 600 for the rest of the mokum. But another approach is that, as Rebbe says, there were 12 shvatim. And the point over here was to be Kena, this makom in the benefit of all of the shvat. If you take the 12, the 50 shkolim that he gave from each one of the shvatim, which equaled 600 shkolim in the end. This too is the explanation now in the Sifri, in the Gemara, in the difference between is it kesev or is it zahav. Here it says v'tabakav kesev shkalim chamishim, and there it says v'yitein David shiklei zahav mishkal shesh meot. And so the meaning over here is that he had been gove kesev from all of the shvatim, which was the value of shesh meot kesev in shiklei zahav, so that it was the value then of the zahav that was given. V'yiven sham David mizbeach ladu. And so it was there that David built the Mizbeach to Hashem and brought up Korban Olot and Korban Shlamim. And Hashem responded then and allowed himself to be turned over. The Loshon of Eter is a pitchfork. As Rashi says back at the time of Yitzchak, to be Mahapech Midat Adin, to Midat HaRachamim, Vateatzar HaMagifa Me'al Yisrael. And at the moment that the Pekida became a Pekida LeMikdash, they had addressed the Chet, and as the Medrash had told us, all of these alafim that had died only because of shelot tavu kol alafim ha'ela shenaflu lo naftu el ha'yedei shelot tavu beit ha'migdash v'harei dvarim kal v'chomer. And what a kal v'chomer it is. U'mayim elu shelo haya b'yimeyem v'lo charav b'yimeyem naflu. These people had never seen a Beit HaMikdash. There never had been a Beit HaMikdash. It wasn't destroyed. And yet, look what happened to them because they didn't demand and desire and live and breathe the Beit HaMikdash. Anu, shaya b'yameinu v'charav b'yameinu. We who have seen a Beit HaMikdash and who have witnessed the destruction of a Beit HaMikdash. Alachat kama v'kama. And therefore, says the Radak, yitkinu zekeinenu v'neviim to lit. Amen.